राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे
राधे राधे गोविंद गोविंद राधे।
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. I was only the person is Bali Maharaj, and what a difficult task he has performed. Even though he knew that Lord Vishnu was on the side of his enemies, he nonetheless gave the Lord the entire three worlds in charity. Text 31. Tat.
Tat.
Rupam.
Rupam.
Avardhata.
Avardhata.
Adbhutam.
Adbhutam.
Hare.
Hare.
Anantasya.
Anantasya.
Guna.
Guna.
Traya.
Traya.
Atmakam.
Atmakam.
Bhu.
Bhu.
Ham.
Ham.
Disha.
Disha.
Dyo.
Dyo.
Vivart. Vivara.
Vivara.
Prayo. Prayodhaya.
Prayodhaya.
Priyak.
Deva.
Nir.
Nir.
Deva.
Deva.
Rasya.
Rasya.
Yat.
Yat.
Asat.
Asat.
Tadvamanarupam avadhabhutam.
Tadvamanarupam avadhabhutam.
Hare anantasya gunatraya atmakam.
Hare anantasya gunatraya atmakam.
Bhukham diso deor vihabhivara prayodhayas.
Bhukham diso deor vihabhivara prayodhayas.
Triyani deva raso yat asat.
Triyani deva raso yat asat.
Tadvamana rupa varvadam adbhutam.
Tadvamana rupa varvadam adbhutam.
Hare anantasya guna traya atmakam.
Hare anantasya guna traya atmakam.
Bhukham diso deor virvara prayodayas.
Bhukham diso deor virvara prayodayas.
Triyani deva rasyo yat asat.
Tatvamanam rupam avartadadbhutam.
Tatvamanam rupam avartadadbhutam.
Hare anantasya gunatrayatmakam.
Hare anantasya gunatrayatmakam.
Bhukham diso deor virvara prayodayas.
Bhukham diso deor virvara prayodayas.
Triyam nirdeva visharyo yatasata.
Triyam nirdeva visharyo yatasata.
Tat.
Tat.
That.
Yeah.
Vamana.
Vamana.
Incarnation of Lord Vamana.
Incarnation of Lord Vamana.
Rupam.
Rupam.
Form.
Form.
Avardhata.
Avardhata.
Began to increase more and more.
Began to increase more and more.
Adbhutam.
Adbhutam.
Certainly very wonderful.
Certainly very wonderful.
Hare.
Hare.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of
Godhead. Anantasya.
Anantasya.
Of the unlimited.
Of the unlimited.
Gunatraya Atmakam.
Gunatraya Atmakam.
Whose body is expanded by the material energy.
Whose body is expanded by the material energy.
Consisting of three modes.
Consisting of three modes.
Goodness, passion and ignorance.
Goodness, passion and ignorance.
Who?
Who?
The land.
The land.
Kam.
Kam.
The sky.
Sky.
Disha.
Disha.
All the directions.
All the directions.
Diyu.
Diyu.
The planetary system.
The planetary system.
Vivara.
Vivara.
Different halls of the universe.
Different halls of the universe.
Vayodhaya.
Vayodhaya.
Great seas and oceans.
Great seas and oceans.
Priyak.
Priyak.
Lower animals.
Lower animals.
Birds and beasts.
Birds and beasts.
Nir.
Nir.
Human beings.
Human beings.
Deva.
Deva.
Demigods.
Demigods.
Rasaya.
Rasaya.
Rishaya, great sentient persons.
Yat, wherein, asa, live.
Translation and purport by Srivadya, Srila
Prabhupada.
The unlimited supreme personality of Godhead, who had assumed the form of Vamana, then began increasing in size, acting in terms of material energy, until everything in the universe was within his body, including the earth, the planetary systems, the sky, the directions, the various holes in the universe, the seas, the oceans, the birds, the beasts, human beings, the demigods, and great sentient persons. Bali Maharaj wanted to give charity to Vamanadeva, but the Lord expanded his body in such a way that he showed Bali Maharaj that everything in the universe is already in his body. Actually, no one can give anything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he is full in everything. Sometimes we see a devotee offering Ganges water to the Ganges. After taking his bath in the Ganges, the devotee takes a palmful of water and offers it back to the Ganges. Actually, when one takes a palmful of water from the Ganges does not lose anything. And similarly, if a devotee offers a palmful of water to the Ganges does not increase in any way. By such an offering, the devotee becomes celebrated as a devotee of Mother Ganga. Similarly, when we offer anything with devotion and faith, whatever we offer does not belong to us, nor does it enrich the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if one offers whatever he has in his possession, he becomes recognized as a devotee. In this regard, the example is given that when one's face is decorated with a garland and sandalwood pearl, the reflection of one's face in the mirror automatically becomes beautiful. The original source of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the original source also. Therefore, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is decorated, the devotees and all the living entities are decorated automatically. Om Jnana Jivanandasya Jnana Nirasalaya Chakshusmitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Nami Gaurata Vishnamaha Vanchakalpa Trumyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyacha Patitanam Kavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we are continuing our reading of Bali Maharaj surrenders the universe. So when this was verse 20 and verse 21, you can see that all the residents of the heavenly planets were so much pleased by the act of Bali Maharaj when he surrendered the Supreme Lord and gave him everything. And he was showered upon with flower petals and blessings. So when we see in our material situation, sometimes we think that if I surrender everything to the Supreme Lord, I will be at a great loss. Because we think in the material condition, material situation. In the material world, we see if we give away something to someone, then we lose. We don't gain anything. But in a spiritual context, when we give to the Supreme Lord is so kind, as we mentioned many times before, that He gives everything back, many folds. But only problem is that we have lack of faith in the Supreme Lord. Although sometimes we hear from different speakers citing scriptural directions that how the Supreme Lord is so kind and merciful that He is the best well-wisher of all living entities. Again, we read also in the scriptures ourselves. And even after understanding all this knowledge, we still don't have full faith and conviction that the Supreme Lord is our best well-wisher. Sometimes, I give an example that when we are planning something, some activity or some action, what we do is that we try our utmost best to plan according to our intelligence. At the same time, we also have plan B, And why do we have plan B? Is that because just in case plan A fails, then we have plan B to fall back on. Even like the great generals of army, when they are making strategic planning for warfare, they have a strategic planning of how to attack the enemies. But they have a backup plan just in case the plan fails. So why are they making a backup plan? Because they have a doubt that their original plan, although it is their first choice, may not be perfect. So they have a little lack of faith and conviction in that plan. So just in case, they have a plan B. So similarly, in our devotional life, we sometimes engage in devotional service with a plan B. Just in case, if it doesn't work, then I have something to fall back on. But when we approach Krishna, Krishna says that there is no need for plan A, plan B. Simply have your plan A. What is that plan A? Simply surrender to the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that sarva dharma parijita mame kam sharmaja aham tam sarva pape. You give up everything. Completely you surrender to me. Mame kam, just my sloka, my shatra alone. And then I will fulfill the second part of my bargain. Aham tam sarva pape. I will free you from all anxieties, all fears. Now even after hearing the Supreme Lord's words, we still have doubt. Because we cannot still surrender everything. It is very difficult to surrender. But in this instance, we see Bali Maharaj, without a second thought, he knew that once he gives into the promised land to Vamanadeva, he is going to lose everything. Because in his heart he understood that Vamanadeva is not just an ordinary young Brahmin dwarf, but he is actually the Supreme Lord himself. So, when Bali Maharaj surrendered everything, he became very glorious. And we see many instances when great devotees are fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord, they become very glorious. Why? Because everybody envies their position. What is their position? Their position is that they have that shelter in the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And anyone who has a shelter in the lotus feet of the Lord, he is free from all anxieties. So again, coming back, that why we cannot fully surrender is because we do not have complete conviction in this process, although we are trying. But we find that while we are executing our devotional practices, we are not succeeding as per the directions of the scriptures. For example, Prabhupada had coined this one phrase, and it became a very, very famous phrase all over the universe practically, that if you chant Hare Krishna, you will become happy. So, you know, we also have our little bit there, embroidered here. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. We go on Hari now with our signs of Mahamantra. Say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So, we are encouraging everybody else. You please chant Hare Krishna and you will be very happy. We are chanting Hare Krishna. But we look miserable. Why are we miserable? Because if I am promoting a product, saying this is the best product, but I don't use that product myself, then how am I going to convince the other person that this is the best product in town? So we have to have first full conviction ourselves in a product, in an item. And when we are fully convinced that this thing is perfect and ideal, then I can go and convince someone else that look, I am using this. It's good enough for me. It should be good enough for you. Try it out. It's the best thing. And with conviction, if you tell another person, he will accept. But because we don't have full conviction, and we are not experiencing the ecstasies of the holy names, then it is very difficult to convince the other person to take to the holy names. So it doesn't mean that we don't make that endeavor. We still endeavor to tell others that you please follow this process. This is the process recommended by the Supreme Lord to become perfect in this material world and be free from the bondage of birth and death. At the same time, we should be careful in our execution of Krishna consciousness, that we execute Krishna consciousness according to the rules and regulations which are given to us by the scriptures, the acharya. And if you adhere to that, then slowly and gradually you will make progress. Just like when you enter the university. On the first day of your presence in the university, you are not going to proclaim yourself as a qualified person holding a degree in the subject matter which you are studying. This is just the first day. So, under the expert guidance of the professor, he will train you, he will guide you, and he will expose you to the knowledge which is required to understand a particular subject matter. For example, this chemistry, then the professor will teach you the basics of the chemistry understanding. And then slowly, as you study more and more, you will become perfect in the subject matter. When the 3-year, 4-year course is over, when you sit down for the final examination, you come out with flying colors, and they give you a degree, saying now you are fully qualified, a PhD or MA or BSc, whatever degree you are hoping to get, you get that without any difficulty. So embarking on a devotional process is a similar thing. We have come to the master, the spiritual master who is our teacher, and under his direction we have to learn. The spiritual master is an expert person who can guide you out of the darkness of ignorance. But we must have full faith in his directions. There should be no room for doubt in the instructions of the spiritual master. But here we see that Bali Maharaj, although he was given instruction by his spiritual master, he decided to reject his spiritual master's instruction. Even though he rejected the instruction of the spiritual master, he became glorious. And all the residents of the heavenly planets, the demigods, showered upon him many good wishes. So we will see this is a contradiction. That on the one hand, we are told that we must fully take shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master and follow and adhere to his instructions. And adhering to the instructions of the spiritual master, all success comes. But then on the other hand, we see here in this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Bali Maharaj is frequently disobeying the instruction of the spiritual master. And he becomes glorious, becomes successful. He gets the ultimate, the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So how we can understand that? So Prabhupada is explaining that the duty of the spiritual master is to guide you out of darkness and give you knowledge. And that knowledge which will enable you to understand the Supreme Lord in His full opulence. And when you understand the Supreme Lord in His full opulence, you will see the greatness of the Supreme Lord. At the same time, you will see yourself as an insignificant little thing. Like I gave example yesterday, that when the sun in His full glory is shining and is showing light throughout the universe, and you stand in front of this sun with this little candlelight and thinking, I also got light. I can bring light to the world. But how much light can you bring with one candlelight compared to the sun? So when we actually understand that we are like an insignificant little flame, we are very insignificant, then our position is very clear that the so-called illusion we have, that I am something, I have got power, I have got strength, then we realize that actually this power, this strength is just an illusion. I am insignificant, I am powerless. But my power comes only when I am connected with the Supreme. When you are connected with the Supreme, then directly the power is energizing you. And then the Supreme Lord, by His mystical powers, He can empower you with unlimited strength. But on your own, you cannot have any strength. So, when Bali Maharaj rejected His spiritual master, He became glorious. Now Prabhupada is explaining that the duty of the spiritual master is to free his disciple from the bondage of birth and death. If he cannot do that, then one must reject him. If the spiritual master doesn't guide you out of this cycle of birth and death, then he must be rejected because he is failing in his duty. So Prabhupada cites the teachings of Lord Vishwadev, which says, Guru na sasya. And in the Prabhupada, Prabhupada is very heavy in explaining the position of Sri Guru. The position of Guru is a very, very responsible post, that he is taking responsibility of his disciples to guide them out of darkness. Now, if he cannot do that, then he is not only being dishonest to himself, but he is also dishonest to his disciples, and he is cheating them. So when you cheat someone, then obviously that person will be very much affected by it, and he will lose faith in the Supreme Lord. So we should be very careful that we do not act in any way that we would discourage people's faith in the Supreme Lord. And this guru doesn't mean that one who is giving diksha. Guru means one who is also speaking the scriptures on behalf of the Parampara. In other words, every devotee who has taken shelter of Krishna consciousness and who is preaching is the guru. So what is his position as a guru? The instruction is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jare deko tare kaho Krishna upades. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, you give Krishna upades. You speak about Krishna. So you are speaking about Krishna. Now you may not be fully realized in the knowledge of Krishna, but at least whatever little knowledge you have, whatever little experience you have, that you can impart on someone. And you can bring that person up to that level. And then as you develop more and more in your spiritual practice, the more and more you can bring the other person to that level. So preaching is a very, very important service which we have been given. And it is of great importance that we do not misuse this position. So we can see in this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam that when Bali Maharaj disobeyed his spiritual master for the higher purpose of surrendering everything to the Supreme Lord, he became glorious. But similarly, we have to see in our position that what can we give to the Supreme Lord? Now, generally, we don't have much to give to the Supreme Lord. When we come to Krishna consciousness, whatever little possessions we have, we surrender to Him. But sometimes we hold these things back. We don't give everything to Krishna, thinking that I may need this. But when you hold back something, then Krishna also holds back. Because Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, "Yeh tama prapiyante," that I will reciprocate with you as you reciprocate with me. So if we hold something back, then Krishna is also going to hold back the mercy. Because Krishna is only interested in one aspect of relationship, that is one of giving fully, without any second consideration. But Krishna is very kind that when you give everything, then He returns everything in many forms. Now sometimes we see, this is one very wonderful story of Sudama Brahmin. When he was given three little packets of chickpeas, one for himself, one for Krishna, and one for Balaram. And then they went out into the forest to collect firewood. And as they were going deeper and deeper into the forest to collect firewood, it became a little stormy weather, it started raining. So each one of them took shelter in one of the trees. While they were waiting for the storm to pass, Sudama felt a little hungry, so he ate his packet of chickpeas. Then he felt more hungry and he took Krishna's and Balaram's share. He thought that, you know, I'm here and they are there, I might as well take advantage of this situation. So he took everything. Now, Sudama, being a very, very close friend of the Supreme Lord, because he took something from Krishna, it didn't belong to him. Later on, when he started his household life, he was deprived of all the facilities. He was poverty stricken. But one good thing Sudama had in his heart, that he never lost faith in the Supreme Lord. Even though he was put in such a poverty stricken state, he never lost faith in the Supreme Lord. And he was always glorifying the Supreme Lord and executing his Brahminical duties. So one time his wife was so frustrated, saying, "You're always talking about this Dwarkadish who has so much opulence. He's your best friend, he's your best well-wisher. Look at us, we are living in poverty, we are struggling, we have nothing, we have to worry about when our next meal is coming. Why don't you go to your friend? He has so much. Ask him to give very little." Sometimes we say, a friend in need is friend indeed. So if he's your real friend and you're in need, then of course he'll come and assist you in giving something. But Sudama felt ashamed in his heart. How can I go to Krishna and ask for something when I took something that didn't belong to me? So he felt so much shame in his heart that he could not approach the Supreme Lord. But in his heart he was always glorifying the Supreme Lord. To the point his wife was begging him so much that out of frustration he said, "Okay, now I'll go and see him. But I don't want to go and see him because with what kind of face I can go and approach the Supreme Lord and tell him that, 'Dear Lord, please forgive me, I stole from you.'" So, anyway, in the pastime of Sudama, when Sudama is approaching the Supreme Lord, and his wife gives him some cheap rice, and said, this is the only thing we have. Now, a very tradition is that when you go to see a great man, or a friend, or a Supreme Personality of God in the temple, you take small gift, and offer it to the Supreme Lord, or when you go to see your friend, you bring some gift as an token of offering. So Sudama went with his cheap rice because he knew that he cannot go empty-handed. Now when he approached the city of Dwarka, the gatekeepers of Dwarka saw Sudama in a poverty-stricken state, torn clothes, and like a beggar. So obviously they said, you know, we cannot let you enter our city. So the city is only for those who are fully surrendered to the Supreme Lord, and you are a beggar man, you know, we don't want beggars here. So, but he kept repeating to the gatekeepers that, please, let me in, I have come to see my friend, the Supreme Lord. Now the gatekeepers understand, the Supreme Lord is full of opulence. He's not going to have a beggar as a friend. You know, even in the material world, you see that those who have friendship, they are almost of equal status. If someone is a lesser status, then we sort of discard them and say, you're not on my standard or my level. So we don't befriend them. Very rarely you find friendship in this material world of unequals. So even in a material situation, there's friendship of equals. So here, the gatekeeper is thinking that since Krishna is the Supreme Master, how he can have an unequal friendship. So after the persistence of requesting, the gatekeeper said, okay, I'll go and ask Krishna if he wishes to see you. So as soon as he enters the inner sanctum of Lord Krishna's palace and approaches the Lord and says, dear Lord, there is some guy called Sudama who says he's your friend, he wants an audience with you. As soon as Krishna heard this, he jumped up and ran all the way out towards the front gate, and he embraced Sudama. And all the residents of Dwarka were completely bewildered. How such a great exalted person, and he's embracing just a beggar person. But they did not understand that the intense relationship between the devotee and the Supreme Lord. Okay. We judge the relationship on external basis. But that divine relationship between a devotee and the Supreme Lord is you cannot understand in material terms. So Sudama was brought back into the palace. He was sitting on his own seat. Then he washed his feet with rose-scented waters and flower petals, and then he sprinkled that water on his head. And everybody was completely bewildered by this act. How the Supreme Lord is doing this? But Sudama was so embarrassed by all these things, because still in his heart he had this thing that I stole from Krishna. You know, how can I sit here and accept this? Then finally Krishna finishes the welcome ceremony and everything. Then he offers him fine silk clothing and everything, and dresses him very opulently, and then sits him and offers him a big opulent feast. And after all this is done, then Krishna says, so, what brings you here? It's been so many years and you never came to see me. And Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is explained that he is so eager always to see his devotees. He's eager. And he's in more anxiety to see his devotees than the devotees are in anxiety to see the Supreme Lord. So he was so eager that he told Sudama that, why did you not come and see me? And Sudama was so embarrassed, and he was blushing, and he felt so much pain in his heart. How can I tell Krishna that I did this act of stealing? So, although you can understand that act of stealing from Krishna by Sudama was done very innocently as a child. It wasn't that out of spite or out of some criminal understanding that criminals, when they go and steal, they have some criminal mentality. But Sudama had no criminal mentality. He was a very simple-minded person and a devotee of the Lord. But simply because of the hunger of the stomach, you know, he just ate the cheek piece. So finally Krishna understood, because he is in your heart and he understands everything. Now, sometimes we think that I can hide many things from Krishna, but we can hide nothing from Krishna. Krishna is observing every single act we are doing. He is witnessing every act. But his silence doesn't mean that he is not observing us. He's observing every single act. That is why in our devotional practice, we have to be very, very honest and truthful. Otherwise, we become duplicitous. And just like in the previous verse, it is said that Ali Maharaj, because he was a devotee of the Lord, he had no duplicity in him. He had first-class Vaishnava qualities. So duplicity is not an option for a devotee. So coming back to Sudama, Sudama's heart was unwelled by Krishna, and he's so deep in his heart that he has brought something for me. But even then, Sudama was a little reluctant to give, because he gave me so much. He gave me silk clothing, he fed me opulent food, he gave me a high seat, he gave me his own personal seat. This is incomparable to what I have got. How can I give this, you know? It is shameful to give something. It's like a billionaire, you know, someone like Bill Gates walks into the temple room, and with pride, he takes, opens his wallet and takes out 1 cent and he puts into the donation box. You know, what is 1 cent compared to his billions of dollars? It's nothing. So it would be an embarrassment to give 1 cent when you have billions. So Sudama was thinking, how I can give something like this to the Supreme Lord? It is not a befitting gift to the Lord. So by force, Krishna took the little cloth bag, which was filled with the cheap rice, and he saw that and he felt immense ecstasy. It was unbelievable the ecstasy Krishna felt. And he took one morsel of cheap rice and he was enjoying like there is, you know, like we would enjoy a rasgulla or gulab jamun, you know, and be full of ecstasy. And as he was enjoying this, he was giving away so many gifts to Sudama, unknown to Sudama. Rukmini was sitting, standing by inside of Krishna, and she was getting a bit worried now. That one morsel, Krishna has given half the universe away. Second morsel is given to the second half of the universe. And the third morsel, as Krishna was eating, Rukmini hit a ball of the head and says, "Dear Lord, no, don't eat third, because as soon as you eat this third morsel, you have nothing to give. Because everything you have given in the first two morsels, what you have to give in the third morsel? And all you have is me. And I die, Sisi Kone die. For me, I cannot live without you. Because you cannot separate Lakshmi and Narayana, Radha and Krishna, you cannot separate them. So Rukmini pleaded with Krishna that, "Dear Lord, you have already given everything. Please don't take the third morsel, otherwise I have to go and stay and serve Sudama in his palace." So Krishna understood the sentiments of Rukmini and said, "Okay, I will let you share this rest of the prasada." But here we see the difference. When Vamandev came and begged from 3 steps of land from Vali Maharaj, Vali Maharaj said, "Okay, no problem." Now Vali Maharaj, at that point, he did not understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, "He's just a Brahmana, and I am the master of the three universe. By taking 3 steps of land, how much land is he going to take? You know, he's a tiny little boy, you know, a dwarf. His steps are very small. At the most, he'll take like, you know, 1 square yard, or 1 square meter, but that is not a big loss. Just like I said, Bill Gates, he loses a cent, he's not going to lose sleep overnight. So, Bali Maharaj thought, "It's okay, no problem." But then as Bali Maharaj understood, when Shukracharya indicated that don't give it to him. So then he said, "Why is Shukracharya telling me not to give this Brahmin 3 steps of land? It's nothing insignificant." Then it clicked him. Shukracharya is indicating that this Brahmin boy is not an ordinary boy. He is actually the Supreme Lord. Vishnu has come in this form and he's going to take everything from you. But because Bali Maharaj, proper explains, was blessed by Prahlad Maharaj, who is his grandfather, a pure devotee of the Lord, and when you get the pure devotee's blessings, you are in full knowledge of the Supreme Lord. So he understood that by giving anything away to the Supreme Lord, we're not going to lose anything. So he surrendered. Now here is the other way around. When Sudama is coming to Krishna, Krishna is giving everything away to Sudama, his devotee. So there's reciprocation. So we can learn that from this act, that either way, whether devotee gives to the Supreme Lord the Supreme Lord gives a devotee is no loss at all. Because when a devotee is given something by the Supreme Lord, he accepts that as grace and mercy of the Lord, but then he understands that I am not the possessor of this. He gives it back to the Supreme Lord. And then the Supreme Lord, he knows that if I give something to my devotee, he's going to give it back to me anyway. He's not going to misuse it. So that is very loving exchange of between a devotee and the Supreme Lord. But when we are exhibiting our Krishna conscious practice, we find that these stories are very interesting, and we can draw parallels between the different stories propagated in the Bhagavatam. And we realize the stories, we understand the stories, and we sometimes even understand the moral point behind it. But when it comes to our own personal practice, we are reluctant to give everything to Krishna. Because Prabhupada says that if you want to go back to the spiritual world, you can go back to the spiritual world in an instant. In one instant. All you have to do is surrender fully to the Supreme Lord. But we find it difficult. By words we can say that, but in practice it's very difficult. Just like in Gujarat, you know, generally mostly all Gujaratis are Krishna devotees. And because they have been Krishna devotees from many millions of years back, since they were blessed by the Supreme Lord Dwarkadish establishing himself in Dwarka. And actually Dwarka, we know today Dwarka is, Dwarkadish is holy place, Dwarkapuri. But in the scriptures they reveal that prior to Krishna coming to Dwarka 5,000 years ago, it was known as the land of Upendra. Upendra is another name of Vamanadev. So Vamanadev appeared in Dwarka, in Satyuga. So that place is very, very blessed. So in Gujarat, all the devotees of Krishna, they are always chanting Japa Mala. And when we go and preach, we say, "You please chant Hare Krishna." And Hare Krishna means, as Prabhupada explains, "Dear Lord, be kind upon this fallen soul and let me be engaged in your devotional service. Allow me to serve you." And this is the mood when we're chanting the holy names. They allow me to engage in devotional service so that I can become purified of all the contaminations and become rightly situated at your lotus feet. Now in Gujarat they chant Sri Krishna Sarana Mama. This is a mantra given by Vallabhacharya. And when we tell them chant Hare Krishna, they say, "No, we don't chant Hare Krishna. Because we have got a better mantra. We have got a mantra which is saying Sri Krishna Sarana Mama." So Sri Krishna Sarana Mama means Sri Krishna, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Sarana means his lotus feet. Mama means I offer myself to your lotus feet. So many times when I'm preaching, I say, "Oh, it's a very nice mantra." But that mantra is just for speaking only. Because every time you say Sri Krishna Sarana Mama, you're telling the Lord, "I'm giving myself to you. I'm giving myself to you." So you keep repeating that. "I'm giving myself to you. I'm giving myself to you." But have you given yourself to Krishna? You haven't. Because when you give yourself to Krishna, means what? That you are surrendered to Krishna. Now you don't have independence. Krishna is your master. You have to do what your master says. So you read Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavad Gita, Krishna instructs so many instructions. Are you following those instructions? You're not following those instructions. So where is the question of you saying, "Dear Lord, I give myself to you"? You're not giving yourself. So I say, you better you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because at least in the Hare Krishna mantra, you are pleading to the Lord that He allows you to engage in devotional service and thereby purify your heart. And when your heart is fully purified, and as you become more and more purified in your heart, you realize your insignificant position, and then you fully surrender to the Supreme Lord and say, "Dear Lord, now I understand I am an insignificant little living entity and I'm worthless. My only worth is that when I'm connected with you, when I'm connected with you, then I become glorious." How do you become glorious? Because when you are with the Supreme Glorious, you are also glorious. Just like Prabhupada explains, that a rich man, he may have a Rolls Royce, and he's driving his Rolls Royce car, but the chauffeur is also driving the Rolls Royce. So he's also glorious, he's also getting the advantage and benefit of having a ride in a Rolls Royce. Only difference is he's sitting in the front, and the master is sitting in the back. But it doesn't make any difference in the quality of the ride. You know, you're getting the same pleasure as the guy sitting in the back. So when you are with the Supreme Lord, you are in a position to enjoy the opulence of the Supreme Lord. But that enjoying spirit of the opulence of the Supreme is done with the proper understanding, not with you that now I own this. You relish it as a devotee, as a servant. It's like the Prabhupada says that our constitutional position is Jivera Swarupa Hoya Nitya Krishna Das. Eternally we are servant of Krishna. But that position will always remain eternally. We will be the servant of Krishna. But Krishna will always reciprocate with us with loving exchange. He will not look down upon us because we are his servants. Now, in the material world, we have this idea that we will tell people that please become servant of Krishna. How I can become servant of Krishna? Because we have this idea that servant means a slave. Because in the past we have seen, you know, especially Prabhupada explains in the material world, because we have so much illusion, we are thinking, I am the master of all I serve. And we are always trying to lord over others. So lording over others is our nature in this material world. So every time someone comes and submits to us, it's oh, one more person for myself to control. And we try to control and abuse them. So because of this understanding, we think, if we submit ourselves to the Supreme Lord Krishna, Krishna will also abuse us. But because we have material, mundane understanding, so we think in those terms. But when we have a proper understanding, proper knowledge about the Supreme Lord and His devotees and then the transcendental relationship one has with the Supreme Lord, then we understand that it is the greatest pleasure in surrendering to the Supreme Lord. Just like we say our prayers in the morning and we sing the Guru Puja, and after that we read the translation of the Guru Puja to understand what we have just sung. And we do it every day. And we memorize the translation, so we know word for word what we are singing. And that is a very deep, profound meditation on the spiritual master. And we say, He opened my darkened eyes and fills my heart with transcendental knowledge. When this transcendental knowledge is placed in your heart, then you see your real position, that when you are connected with Krishna, it is not one for master and a slave, but it is a born of a divine love. And that love cannot be explained in material context, because again, in the material world, we don't really have the understanding of what is real love. What we have understood in the material world, which we prescribe as love, is something that is an exchange between two persons with some exchange of gift or item or whatever. It's motivated. That I give you something, you give me something. And that is our exchange of love. But unalloyed love means that we give something without any expectation. And then in the material world, you will never find. Even if you give someone a gift, suppose you go to someone's birthday party and say celebrating their birthday, and you take a birthday present to that person, still you expect something from that person. Maybe not an equal gift, but you say that when he comes to my birthday party, then I will also get something. So you have that in the back of your mind, that I'm giving this, I'll get that also back. But with the Supreme Lord, there is no such thing as what I give to the Supreme Lord, then I expect something. One should not expect. But the byproduct of giving something to the Supreme Lord is that He gives you anyway.
Shalom, Minivado.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Ushiva, Shalom, Namaste. Namaste.
Hare Krishna. This is coming to the temple. Only the most fortunate can come to see the Lord and greet His devotees. So in his heart somehow Krishna is directing him that go and greet the devotees. And when he greets the devotees, then I'm sure with all blessing that he will become a perfect devotee. So anyway, coming back, that when we exchange have exchanges with the Supreme Lord, it is not based on remunerations that what I'm going to get back. So we learn from this transcendental pastime to the Lord in this Bhagavatam that when we connect with the Supreme Lord, then our lives become perfect and instantly we are free from all the anxieties of the material world. And that's why, as I mentioned earlier on, that when we chant Hare Krishna, we should be happy. So we should do the chanting in a proper understanding, in a proper mood. If you don't do the chanting properly, then what happens is that we get little glimpses of happiness, but we don't get everlasting happiness. Because what we are doing is that when we are chanting Hare Krishna, we are harboring many material desires in the heart. And in one purport of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says that one must be very, very careful when they are chanting the holy names of the Lord. When they chant the holy name of the Lord, Nam Prabhu is so kind and merciful that instantly He will fulfill your desire. So, when you have so many material desires in your heart and you are chanting our japa, what's happening? Nam Prabhu is saying, so be it. And we get all these material attachments more and more. So instead of peeling away the material attachments, we are getting more and more because we are harboring. And Nam Prabhu is very kind that he will dispense whatever you want. He will give you whatever you want. If you want spiritual understanding, give you spiritual understanding. If you want material bondage and material happiness, he will give you that. So sometimes when we are executing our devotional practice and we have some material desires, then this will be fulfilled by the grace of the Lord. So we have to be very careful that when we are chanting, our mood should be right, or we should be prepared in our mind, in our heart, and while we are chanting, all these desires should be vanquished from the heart. And the best way to do is really pray to the Lord. And in our prayers we should say to the Lord, at least I, when I'm chanting, before I start chanting, I pray to the Lord. I say, Dear Lord, I am about to chant your holy names for my personal purification. I may have many, many unwanted desires in my heart. But I have made one request to you. Reject all my pleas. Anything which is material, please reject. Even though I may be crying from my bottom of my heart and asking you to fulfill those things, but ignore them. The only thing which I plead to you that you accept is that you please give me your shelter and let me engage in your service. Any other things which you find in my heart lurking, please ignore that. So when we pray that, then already we are subconsciously praying and understanding, I don't want these desires, even though they are there. It's very difficult to get rid of them. As long as you have this material body, you will have these material desires. And unless you become completely perfect, it is like a case-22 situation. That on the one hand, you want to be free from all these things, but since you have a material body, you will be affected by the three modes of material nature. Because you are living in material world, the three gunas are material energies, they will affect you. So we try to minimize our position that we do not get influenced by more of ignorance, more of passion, and more of goodness. So even more of goodness is a hindrance, because in more of goodness you may do things which are pious. So if we do pious acts also, they are a hindrance, because piety also means you're accumulating a lot of pious credits. And pious credits means that you may go to the elevated heavenly planets. Now, that is not our destination. Our destination is the spiritual world. So we don't want any pious credits also. So when you go beyond goodness, then you transcend and come to Visuddha Sattva, from where, on a pure goodness, you are transcended from a material realm, and you are actually now engaged in pure devotional service to serve the Lord and please the Lord. So we should not be even aspiring for more of goodness. And there are many, many different instructions in the scriptures given how to protect ourselves from the influence of these three modes. You know, when we leave this area very clean and pure, is it more of at least minimum mode of goodness? It's not a dirty place. In our daily practices, we are taught and trained that you take a bath every day and clean your body. In fact, it is recommended that you take 3 baths a day, like 3 sandhyas, morning, afternoon and evening. So you are externally kept clean, and internally you clean yourself with two things. One is chanting the holy names of the Lord, and second, only taking Krishna Prasadam. Because when you take Krishna Prasadam inside your body, the inside is purified and clean. So your mind, everything is pure, and you are not influenced by this. Your clothing you wear must be very clean, so ignorance is not going to be prevalent. And there are many, many things which we understand the difference. What is in ignorance, what is in passion, what is in goodness. And we try to at least come to minimum goodness. And then from goodness, it is very easy to go to pure goodness. But from ignorance to go to pure goodness, it's practically impossible. Even if you try. And I give one example of a hog. You know, we have all experienced hogs in Vrindavan. They are wallowing in the stool and the gutter. And they're so much absorbed in that. And they're quite happy. And you see them, they're completely, you know, oblivious to everything. They are quite enjoying themselves. And some poor devotee comes along and says, oh, I feel sorry for this poor hog. Let me give him a better situation. So he takes the hog away, cleans him up with soap and shampoo and scented oils, and makes him completely refreshed, you know, from all the gunk and dirt. And then places him in a nice clean pond and makes arrangements for nice food stuff and different utensils, you know, very good clean prasada. And the hog is doing his hog business. He just eats, because they eat 24 hours a day practically. So they are just enjoying the fresh food given to them and the freshness. And the minute you open the gate, what does it do? He goes straight back into the gutter. Now he's not thinking, wow, this kind of person is so kind, he's given me a very clean place, nice clean fresh food. Why should I go in the gutter? But by nature they belong in the gutter. So even though you take it out of ignorance and put it in goodness, they'll go back. So we should not be like a hog. You know, because actually in this material world, we are worse than hogs, because we have been so much contamination of ignorance that by the mercy of pure devotees, Srila Prabhupada, he has picked us up from this suffering ocean of material existence and placed us on a very high level of devotional platform where we engage in devotional service. And this devotional service is a very rare gift. It's not given to any Tom, Dick and Harry, anyone, everyone. It is only when you're fully qualified to receive the mercy of the Lord that he allows you to engage in his devotional service. But Prabhupada explains that one who is granted devotional service, and through his devotional service and his devotion to the Supreme Lord, he can purchase the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord then is indebted to you, and he will do whatever you want. He will dance to your tune. So obviously Krishna is not going to be happy dancing to some materialistic karmic tune, because he's going to make Krishna do something which is abominable, you know. But a devotee, he will never ask Krishna to do anything except to serve Krishna. So we see that devotion is a very, very rare gift. But in our position, in our situation, although being the most unqualified, by the mercy of a pure devotee, he has actually given us an access to devotional service, which in a real sense, we are not even qualified for it. So we take it for granted that we are doing devotional service, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I'm offering puja to the deities, I'm going out on Sankirtan, and you know, I'm doing devotional service. But we should understand that it is a most rare gift which has been granted to us simply out of the causeless mercy of Sri Guru and Gauranga. If the causeless mercy wasn't there, we would be deprived of this wonderful devotional service. So we should be very, very mindful and careful that when we are given this devotional service, we do not take it for granted, but we have a proper understanding and engage in the service of the Lord with proper understanding, so that we do not become abusers of our position. And as you are engaging in devotional service, that purification takes place very quickly. And in a short time, your heart becomes so purified that you are so absorbed in the Supreme Lord that you become oblivious to the material world. You are completely like a madman, you know, absorbed in the Supreme Lord. And this we see the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that when Mahaprabhu was given instruction by Ishwara Puri that forget all this knowledge and studying scriptures and discussing and arguing with many, many pandits. This is all waste of time. The real conclusion of all this scripture is Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Eva Kevam. Kalo Nasteva, 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 Nathiranita. So just chant the holy names. And from that moment onwards, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no more discussion of philosophy, only chanting. And he started chanting and he became like a madman. And everybody thought, this is such a wonderful young man. He knew scriptures, and look at now, you know, he's walking around like a madman. But they don't understand, he's not a madman. He is the most transcendental personality there is, because he's fully absorbed in the holy names. And this is the Supreme Lord himself showing by his own example how we can become completely made for Krishna. And if we become made for Krishna, the external world they see us as crazies. That doesn't make any difference. No, just like in this material world, if I call you, you're crazy. Simply because by calling you crazy, does it mean you become crazy? No. You just ignore it. The guy's crazy himself. Calling me crazy. So someone calling you crazy doesn't mean we are crazy. But devotees feel compassion for everyone, saying, we have a wonderful gift. You don't understand. Let me help you. And try and understand, give the understanding to that person. And we can give that by giving him little Krishna Prasadam. That is the initial purification process. And after Prasadam, he feels a little bit purified. So then he will chant Hare Krishna. Sometimes, many times, we see in the street when we want to give some Prasadam to people, and they refuse. So we say, okay, anyway, they say Hare Krishna. Say, no, no, sir. But when you offer, say, oh, this is a sweet, it's very nice sweet, it's made out of coconut ice, or what is that? Made sweet, we made, you know, sweet balls. And he said, try it out, and he said, oh, it's very nice. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, before he was so saying Hare Krishna, after taking the sweet, he said Hare Krishna. So you see, it works. It's not that it doesn't work. You know, but sometimes we don't have faith. So anyway, coming to conclusion, it's coming 9 o'clock, that we must try and understand from the pastimes of different personalities in the scriptures that they are not there just for pastimes and for relishing, but it is for us to learn from them, and they are giving us examples of how we can become perfect in our lives simply by following in their footsteps, and our life become perfect. So if we follow in the footsteps of Bali Maharaj and give everything what we have to Krishna, then we become glorious, and he gives us his lotus feet, and we get shelter of his lotus feet. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. If anybody has any comments, any questions? Yes, Madam.
You were speaking about full surrender. Sometimes we try to surrender externally. We give everything to Krishna. Maybe we shift to the temple, but still we feel that we are not completely surrendered internally. But advice can you give in that respect?
Well, you see, even the external act of giving, it is there that you have that in your heart to give everything to Krishna. But internally, what we can give to Krishna is what we are holding back in our emotions, in our intelligence, and you know that we should also surrender. And that surrender only comes by simply praying to the Lord. That please allow me to give everything to you. And he gives intelligence by which, just like he says, bhajatam priti purvakam, dadami buddhi yogam. That when you worship the Supreme Lord, and worship doesn't just worship, bhajatam means also offering prayers. And when you offer the prayers to the Supreme Lord and ask and beg him that please give me your shelter, free me, then he says dadami buddhi yogam. Then he gives you the intelligence by which you can come to him. So he actually shows us how to come to him. On our own speculation, we cannot go to Krishna. Only Krishna can show us a way to Krishna. Because he knows his way. Suppose, if you ask me where I'm staying, so I say, oh, I'm staying in such and such a place. And I say, please come and visit me. And I say, okay, fine. But I haven't given you exact direction to get there. Then you have to ask many people, please tell me where this place is. And then you may ask this person, that person, that person, that person. And eventually you'll come to where I am. But to save you all the trouble, I say, look, I'm staying in this place. And to get to this place, here are the directions. You follow these directions without any difficulty, you'll be there. So, how best to go to Krishna? Who can tell us? Only Krishna can tell us, because he can give us the supreme directions to go to get to him. And the wise medium is a spiritual master who has also found his way to the Supreme Lord. He said, I've already been there, I'll show you how to get there. So we simply have to follow in the footsteps of the spiritual master and his directions. And he will take us to the Supreme Lord because he is Gyaninas Tattva Darshana. He is self-realized in the path of Krishna consciousness. And because he has that, he can take us there without any difficulty. So that we must have faith.
Thank you.
Krishna, about chanting, how do I recognize, I know that my chanting is progressing towards Namabhas, towards, away from Namapad. How do I recognize that? What is the difference in
Well, you see, we don't have to worry about what is the difference. We have to simply, when we are chanting, we have to pray to the Supreme Lord that I am the most insignificant, most unqualified. Please allow me to chant this properly. Please allow me to chant your names with understanding and with attention. Just like, you know, when you say the 10 offices of the holy names, and then the 11th one, which is very important, saying one must be very attentive while they're chanting. So we have to be very careful. That sometimes that's really what happens. When you're chanting the holy names, we become so much automatically trained that we just put our hand in japa mala and we are going, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Krishna Krishna, Ram Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Ram Ram, Ram Ram, Krishna Krishna, Hare. Is this the mantra? Mantra is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, where is this Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna Krishna, Ram Ram, Ram Krishna Krishna, Hare? This is a concoction. And why? Because our mind is elsewhere, our mouth is vibrating, and we are not concentrating on chanting. And many years ago, of course now we have all these MP3 players, all these things. We used to have our Walkmans. And many years ago, I used to have my Walkman. I put my Walkman on recording and I just hang it around my shoulder and I'm chanting. And I'm recording my own chanting. Now some people thought I'm crazy. I'm recording my own chanting. I'm so proud of my own chanting. But I was doing that for a purpose. And after I finished about 4 or 5 rounds, then I stopped chanting and I put my recording on and listened to my own chanting. And then sometimes devotees, people would say, this guy's crazy. See, he thinks he's so pure, he listens to his own chanting. But the reason I was doing was, I was trying to correct myself, am I chanting properly? So when I'm listening to my own chanting, and I'm going, wow, it's not properly chanting Hare Krishna mantra, is it? Because there's a lot of Krishna's, many Hare Hare is more and more, Rama's here and more Krishna's here. This is my own concoction pattern of chanting. And I find that after about 4 or 6 full mantras, 8th and the 9th one is like Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So you know, because you are so absorbed, and you don't concentrate. So what happens is that you're chanting the mantra. If you don't chant the mantra properly, then you don't get the full effect. So I should listen and I say, okay, now I'm going to correct. So then again, rewind, start recording again, start chanting. This time I'm playing the more conscious because I just heard my own chanting was a bit dodgy. Okay, I have to correct myself. I go again, Hare Krishna, Hare. No. And the chanting is not something which we have to rush into. You know, sometimes people say, oh, I chant my one round in 7 minutes, I'll be very fast chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Chanting is not a race. It's not a race. But, we have to chant, and also in the space time chant, it's like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Like half an hour later, you just chant one round. That's also not good. But attentive chanting, good chanting, has to be done properly. Each one knows his or her own speed of chanting properly with attention. And if you do that with proper understanding, then you'll begin to feel happiness in the heart. You'll recognize that actually you are happy. And every moment, you feel that happiness. There is no morosity in you. Otherwise, sometimes you have a big smile. Hare Bol, Prabhu, Hare Bol. Where is the happiness? This happiness, proper experience, is transcendental happiness. It is not like material happiness which is described as chakala sukha, flickering happiness. It is everlasting, unending happiness. Once you get it, it is there all the time. It doesn't diminish. The material happiness, it diminishes. I'm sitting here with a plate full of gulab jamun. I eat 1 gulab jamun, 2 gulab jamun. I'm relishing, I'm feeling happy. And after I'm eating about 10 gulab jamun, stomach is aching and is burning, and that happiness is no more. And some princess have more gulab jamun. Oh, I'm already having, I'm about to throw up. And that is not a very wonderful situation. But 1 gulab jamun is fine. You relish it. But even that relishing and pleasure is only short lived. But spiritual happiness, it doesn't diminish. It is everlasting. So when you're chanting properly, we don't have to worry about Nama Bhashya or this or that. We simply have to understand, my duty is to chant Hare Krishna. And I must chant with proper understanding, with concentration, and listening to every syllable. And when you make a conscious effort to listen to every syllable, then the chanting is going from your mouth into your ear and not into your head, but it goes to your heart. And when it goes to your heart, the soul gets nourished. And as you're chanting more and more with proper understanding, the soul becomes stronger and stronger, then the soul becomes the master again. For so many lifetimes, the mind has become the master and the soul has become subservient. And the soul is dancing to the tune of the mind. So mind is making the soul dance in all sorts of crazy things. So as the Bhagavad Gita instructs, that you must try to control your senses, your mind. And you are the master. You tell the mind, I am the master, I tell you what to do. And I tell you, you worship Krishna. Then mind has to worship Krishna. And the mind says, oh, forget Krishna, let's go to cinema. Then, you know, you go to the cinema. Because mind is, because mind is so strong, that the soul becomes overwhelmed by the mind's urges and direction, that we follow that. So to subdue the mind is the holy name of the Lord. And when we are fully absorbed in that, then there is no question of mind leading us astray. So we have to concentrate our chanting properly so that we get the desired effect of purification. And then once you are fully absorbed, your chanting is coming from the heart. Prabhupada says that the genuine chanting comes from the heart. And when you have that, then you can sit like Hare Thakur, you know, Hare Krishna, without anybody disturbing you. The whole world may be blowing up around you, and you still be happy chanting Hare Krishna. You won't be worried about it. But right now, you know, you're chanting Hare Krishna in temple room, very beautiful atmosphere. You find one of these jet pleasures, and you'll get no noise, and you get outside, and your attention is dragged away. Even slightest distraction and immediately, because we are not fixed. So we have to try and practice this chanting so nicely that even if there is some distraction going on, so you are not bothered by that. And that is the practice. It comes through practice. It doesn't come like, you know, just overnight. But if the Lord wishes, it can come overnight. But at least from our side, we should make practice regularly and concentrate with proper consciousness, then it will have effect, 100%. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai.
Grantha Srimad Bhagavata Mahapurana ki
Jai.
Radhe Radhe Govind.